Now, back to more Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. After 7 o'clock, Michael O'Hanlon from the Brookings Institute on the danger we're in after the Paris bloodbath and what we're doing about it, what may happen over the next few days, weeks, and even months. We'll get to all of that after 7 o'clock. But first, Doc, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Nice to talk to you. And I'm fine, thanks. Northwestern Medicine and Central DuPage Hospital, of course, impact every day. And I met some friends of yours on Saturday night. I was at the Marion Joy Gala and did the auction for him, helping him raise some money. But I know you guys have a nice partnership with those folks, so they all say hi.
We do. They're wonderful. You know, Marion Joy has been in existence, I think it's got to be approaching 50 years now, and probably one of the best rehab hospitals in the country. So we're very fortunate to have that in the western suburbs, and great rehab doctors, and kind of goes into what we're going to even discuss today. They do wonderful things there.
I want to talk about stroke. It's very scary because it can come pretty much without symptoms, right?
Well, usually you'll get the symptoms, but you don't have, unfortunately, the symptoms beforehand. But
yeah, that's what I mean. The symptoms ahead of time that would trigger that, hey, I'm in trouble here.
Correct. Now, there are some things that we would tell people, boy, you have a much higher chance of having a stroke if your blood pressure is elevated, if you have high cholesterol, if you have atrial fibrillation, if you smoke. So there are definitely risk factors for it. But, yeah, you don't know it's going to happen until it happens, unfortunately.
So once a stroke hits, there are some markers and some pretty standard stuff. We think a heart attack with the numb left arm and the sweating and those things, the pressure on your chest and all of that. What are the stroke symbols?
Yeah, so in the stroke one, this is really important not only for the individual, but also for the people around them, because sometimes even the individual who's having a stroke won't even know he's having a stroke. So it's something very simple, and the acronym is FAST, F-A-S-T. F stands for face. If someone's looking at you and they smile and one side of their face does not go up, that's a good chance that they're having a stroke. Now, people say, oh, yeah, but that could also be Bell's palsy, and that's true. But it's important to find out that it's a stroke or not a stroke, and you'd rather find that out quicker. A is for arm. Can they not lift their arm? Do they have sudden weakness in their arm, their inability to move it? S is for their speech. Do they have slurred speech? Do they have difficulty saying words? Do they have confusing statements? And then T is time. Time is the most important thing. If you see any of these things, the FAS before, call 911. Get that person in the emergency department right away. Because just like heart attacks, the amount of time that the brain is without oxygen, the worse the outcome is going to be.
Well, I come back and talk about some of the technology that's out there to assist stroke patients, but also what can be done in those very important minutes that Doc's talking about. All right, so, Doc, blood pressure. What do we know, and is the new number lower or higher than it was before?
It's actually lower.
Ah, great.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Excuse me. It's interesting. You know, a new study just came out. It's actually in this week's New England Journal of Medicine. They were running a study called the SPRINT study. And when they were looking at that, they were looking at the impact of blood pressure. And we all used to say, oh, you know, 120. Matter of fact, some older people can keep their systolic pressure at 140. We have two numbers when we have our blood pressure, the systolic number, and that's essentially the heart when it's at its highest pumping pressure. That's the top number. And then the diastolic number, which is the lower number, is when the heart is at rest. And everyone used to say, oh, 120 over 80, 120 over 80. And as we got older, we said, oh, you know what? Even 140 is okay. Well, the SPRINT study has been going on for about 7 years now, and it actually was stopped a year early so that they could get this data out. And this data is just being printed, like I said, right now in the New England Journal of Medicine, because now we're going to start looking at keeping people over the age of 50 with a systolic pressure under 120. So that is going to be a huge impact on people. But the study did show that there's a huge decrease in the chance of heart attack as well as stroke if they can lower that systolic blood pressure under 120.
And under 120, obviously the goal would be what? Lose weight, have better diet, less salt, all of those things?
You hit all of those on the head. The only one that you really missed was exercise.
Okay.
So, you know, we want to keep our weight down. If our weight is down, the body, the heart does not have to work as hard to pump against the resistance of the rest of the body. If we exercise, the heart becomes a more effective pump. If we make sure that we have the right diet and sodium intake, again, the heart does not have to work as hard because of additional fluid that's in the body.
A couple of listeners chiming in. For a stroke victim, if they stick their tongue out and it goes from one side or the other, is that a sign?
Well, it can be, and that usually will be coupled with the smile portion of it as well, because it's going to affect those same muscles. And to be honest with you, any confusing thing that doesn't make sense, go to the hospital, because strokes can happen in so many different ways, because the blockage in the brain can be at different areas in the brain that affect different parts of the body.
From 815, 3 years ago, my 48-year-old mother had a stroke. Thank goodness that my brothers and sister were home with her. She had all the signs. Unfortunately, my 19 and 17-year-old brothers thought fast, got her in a car, rushed her to the hospital. They gave her, is it TPA? Is that the drug?
Yep.
They gave her TPA and flew her to Peoria. By the way, Peoria's got amazing hospitals for a little town.
They really do. OSF in Peoria is a phenomenal hospital.
Yeah, and they were able to save her with minimal lingering issues.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point there, and that's the drug TPA. So prior to TPA being even known, which was late 80s, early 90s, we really didn't have a lot for stroke patients. When I was a resident at Lutheran General, a patient got a stroke. Our goal was to monitor their blood pressure overnight and then get them into rehab, because there wasn't much we can do. Then TPA came, and TPA is a clot-busting drug, and we found that it worked in the heart for heart attacks, and someone said, well, if it works there, why don't we see if it works in the brain for strokes? And it works. Study came out last week that says, you know what, TPA is a great drug and works. And the nice thing about TPA is it can be given pretty much at any hospital. But just like that story you had right there, that patient got TPA and then was flown to Peoria. In Peoria, they probably had what do we call a neurointerventional procedure, where actually now we put catheters into the brain and remove the clot, because we can do that quicker than the TPA works.
Is that right?
It is so cool.
That's pretty amazing. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, it is. It's great. You know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of people that can do it in the country, so the number of hospitals that have it are limited, but there's many in Chicago. We're fortunate here at CDH to have Dr. Harish Shonkeen and Dr. Ovi Mazumdar, who are unbelievable. And I'll tell you, if you ever come to the hospital, we should go up to his lab.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Seeing what he can do. And I'll tell you, someone comes in with the signs of a stroke, we know within 20 minutes what we're doing with that patient. We remove that clot. People that would have had to have been taught how to eat or taught how to work are going home 2 days later with no residual effects.
Yep. It's really miraculous.
Steve, I have a quick question for Dr. Most.
Yes, Orion Samuelson, question for Dr. Most.
The medical difference between stroke and TIA.
Great question, O. TIA is what we call a mini stroke. So sometimes with the TIA, you'll get a little bit of blockage, and then for some reason that blockage clears. So you say, geez, I have weakness in my arm, and then, oh, no, it's okay. It goes away. It resolves within 24 hours. We don't want to find out about those. We'd rather find out about those in a hospital. And unfortunately or fortunately, a TIA is a sign that you may have a stroke in the future. So much more awareness. So people with high blood pressure and have a TIA, boy, their doctor is going to get on top of them. So people have TIAs, transient ischemic attack, that's the TIA, versus a full-blown stroke. But those are warning signs that you could have a stroke in the future.
And those are always in your arm, or you'll see any of those symptoms?
No, it can be any of those symptoms.
Okay.
Yeah, I had one. I had a TIA about 5 years ago. It affected my walking, it affected my mobility, and for a couple of hours affected my speech.
Yep.
And fortunately, O is very good about making sure he listens to his wife and his doctors, and the rest of us should do the same thing. Doc, from the 847, if you think somebody's having a stroke, should you give them aspirin right away as you do with a heart attack?
Well, you know, people argue back and forth about aspirin, and to be honest with you, I would say the first thing you should do is don't medicate them, get them to the hospital. We can give them better drugs and drugs into their system faster than you can if they chew an aspirin. And also, we want to kind of make sure that they're not eating anything, because we may be doing procedures on them.
312, thank you, CDH. You saved my dad. He was life-flighted after getting TPA from Elgin. Thank you, CDH. That should make you feel good. And then there's this. Doc, my blood pressure over the last 2 weeks has skyrocketed. exactly what should I do? I'm tempted to call my doctor today. Well, first off, I think he should.
Absolutely, 100%, especially if you've seen a change dramatically in a short period of time. Obviously, that patient has a machine at home that can check their blood pressure, which is great. One thing I'd say, if they're listening, bring that machine with you so that you can check the accuracy of your machine versus the accuracy of the good one that they have in the doctor's office. And that is something that you don't want to mess with. So definitely get in. Talk to your doctor. He may not start you on medication right away. We like to see a reading of a high blood pressure like 3 days, not just once, because some people have what we call white coat hypertension. They come in our office, their blood pressure
right.
Yep. So we want to make sure that we check the machine, have them check it at home. If those high numbers continue in their home, in the comfort of their home, that's a patient that needs to be medicated.
And there's no tried and true way just to lower your blood pressure, right? I mean, if you feel like you have a spike going on, there's no instant way to drop your blood pressure, is there?
No, there's no way that, I mean, some people can say get in a relaxed situation because blood pressure will go up when you're under stress or nervous. That may lower it a little bit, but those are those incidences where it's, flight or fright. So we will change those, but those are transient. But what we really want to look at is what's your blood pressure continuously, because that's what's doing damage to the heart and to the brain.
Is it true potassium helps lower the blood pressure? I mean, I know it's not as easy as eat a banana, but you could have a blood pressure spike with a low potassium moment.
Yeah, potassium and sodium, those are the two things that everyone talks about, and about retaining water, and potassium more is going to work on the muscles. It's okay. So that if we have a low potassium, you're going to get spasms. But I wouldn't go saying, let's take some potassium pills and see if my blood pressure will go down, because you can end up with heart arrhythmias if you have too much potassium.
So eating 47 bananas a day isn't a great idea?
No, probably not. No.
Well, you're the doctor.